Hello and welcome to Mama Tills, a podcast on our collective motherhood journey. I'm your host, Sally Courier. Merry Christmas and happy holidays for everyone who's celebrating. I hope you're having an amazing time and taking a well-deserved break. In very big news, I feel so honored to be ending the year on the 50th Mama Tills episode. Yay! Like, how did we even get here? I wasn't so sure about how long I would do this podcast for when I started it back in 2021. And to be honest, this place has brought me a lot of purpose, and I have you to thank for that. So this will be the last episode of the Holiday Survival Guide, a series of episodes that I've been doing to help us navigate this sometimes overwhelming time of the year. We started with one on what to do with our kids now that they're on holiday, that touched a bit on child development. Then we did one on spending time with our relatives with a special focus on the daughter-in-law. The third one was on navigating a different family dynamic, that is co-parenting, and how that can affect times like this. And last week we had a super insightful one on navigating the holidays on the spectrum, an episode that aims to help parents and loved ones go through the holidays with a special consideration of the autistic child's needs. Today, we are going to go into a bit of a reflective mood. I did a version of this episode last year dubbed Reflections. And this year, I'm going to focus the reflections on things that I worried about that in hindsight, I probably shouldn't have. These things span everything from my worries I had about the kids, my business, and my personal self. Like I said last week, I will not be doing this alone. A number of listeners sent in their entries, so I'm honored to share those as well. All right, let's get right into the first one. My daughter's first day of school, well, more like quote-unquote school, was in mid-January. I say quote-unquote because it was more of a daycare, and she was going to be there for a couple of days a week and a maximum of 3 hours a day. I was super worried. This would be the first time that she would be away from us and independently be in a whole different location from us. You know, I had no idea how empty I would feel that morning when I dropped her off. Like, I felt like I was walking around naked. Like, where was my child? You know, I decided to set up my workspace close by. Thankfully, there was a lounge around so that I could be available should she need me, you know, that I can hear her scream because she has a very distinctive scream. I think every mom knows how the child screams. When I dropped her off, she handled it so well. There were no tears, no tantrums. She wasn't clingy. She just said bye and went in. She was around 2.5 then. And to be honest, I thought she was the one who was not ready. But in retrospect, I was the one who was not ready. And now after drop-off, I went to peep in through the window to just see how she was. As I approached the school, there was no screaming. And when I looked through the window, there she was, sat on the floor with everyone listening to a story from her minders. To be honest, I was amazed. And I quickly ducked so that she wouldn't see me. I remember calling her father and being like, yo, like, she's fine. She's actually fine. I went back after 3 hours to pick her up, and she absolutely refused to leave. I had to go home, bring her lunch, and let her finish off the day with 3 more hours there. The only tears I saw that day was when we left, and I had to assure her that we were coming back the next day. Since then, she's loved daycare. She has made amazing friends through her time there. One thing I was afraid of was that her Kiswahili would be a struggle once she went there, because I knew everyone would speak to her in English. I made a very conscious choice earlier on in her life that I'd only speak to her in Kiswahili. Well, mainly in Kiswahili, so that's part of her Kenyan identity. Turns out, she influenced more kids to speak Kiswahili. And she also picked up quite a bit of English too. It's not always been rosy. She's had her moments where she'll wake up and be like, nah, I'm not going to school. And it's usually very hard for me to convince her to do that. And I keep thinking about it this way. Like, she has a whole life of school ahead of her. I think it's fair enough if she doesn't need to go when she doesn't need to go. I've also had my fair shares of full flus. Those things hit you hard. But we have both learned to just like live through it and move on. You know, like you see a sniffle and you're like, well, that's all of us next. Next week we're going to be in trouble. But, you know, we move and we play and we get better. So I want to play you a couple of clips from moms who've also had their own school-centered jitters. First up is Gatweri, founder of Leo Tunapika.
When the year began, I was a bit concerned because my son was changing schools to join his sisters. I was wondering how he'll be able to just assimilate. And I think that was the best decision because he assimilated quite well. So turns out I shouldn't have worried about that.
Next up is Mercy Mandela. And this was very interesting to hear because she homeschools her kids.
My God, let me tell you, at the beginning of the year, it was such a hassle. My friends, it was such a hassle to get into the rhythm of grade one. And that leap from like kindergarten to grade one sometimes can be very daunting. So because things have changed up, the way we're teaching changes up and all that. And so it was really, really hard. And I thought, my God, we may not be able to finish grade one on time. And we may have to extend, which I was worried about, but I was okay with if that's what we would have to do. But thank God we have been able to finish. And even though it was a hassle, we did it, guys. And we did it even before the term came to an end. Hallelujah.
My second child-related worry is on how my kids would have gotten along. At the beginning of the year, my kids were 2.5. That's my daughter, and 6 months, that was my son. He had just started getting a little bit more curious about his sister, and she did not like that. Over the next couple of months, the fighting began, and I really started to worry if they would ever get along, you know? Or the other fear that I had is if I handed my son the short end of the straw by coming in second. It's not like I had any power with that. It was hard watching him get beat up. Like, to be honest, he'd have scratches on his face and I knew exactly where those came from. And it wasn't a sense of like me giving him more attention. I don't think that was it. I mean, definitely he still got a bit of that because he was breastfeeding and he needed a lot more care. You know, my daughter wouldn't understand, like, why can't he just sit by himself? Why does he need to be held? Why can't he walk? Why can't he speak? But I also understood that I couldn't go too hard on my daughter because she was still a baby. I couldn't explain to her what a brother meant. To her, this is just someone who invaded her space and won't go. Over the months, he has known exactly how to defend himself. So much so to the point that he knows what buttons to push to agitate her. And, you know, it got to that point where I understood this thing of like, you know, let the kids be. They will sort out their own problems. Sounds crazy, but somehow, like, if you just let the crying happens and then it goes quiet and then they play, they actually do play together. They laugh, they run, they chase each other around. I have seen her care for him. Like, she will get him snacks, she'll make sure that he has this, that we're thinking about him. Can actually leave them alone together, but it's not all rosy, to be honest. We still have a lot of screaming and shouting and like, I want this, and he's here, and get him out. Kana, now she's just like, chukua dayo, take him away. mami, kujo chukua dayo. You know what I mean? Just like, get him away from me. I know you can do this. But I get that. She has my personality. We like our personal space. Don't come near us. Don't touch us. Just leave us alone. And he's a hugger. He's a curious little boy. He wants to be everywhere. And it's interesting. And as much as Kea would care for him and find him food, she would also just take snacks from his plate when hers is completely full. To be fair, she also takes from mine, so that's fine. I think next year should be quite interesting. He'll be in the fully blown toddler stage and she'll be, turning four? Four! How did we get here? Four. So that should be something interesting to look out for. Mary is a listener and a previous story sharer on the pod. She had a story about getting stuck in Wuhan, China when COVID first came through and her son was here. So that was an interesting story. And she also worries a little bit more about how her kids get along or even how to parent her daughter, especially since the kids have a huge age gap.
One of the things I was worried about was if I'd be able to parent my daughter, because the age gap is quite huge. And I think I'd forgotten some things, and it's like I was relearning parenting and I didn't know how to pull through, especially getting back to work, exclusive breastfeeding, and now, you know, I was really worried that my milk would not be sufficient. Eventually we weaned, I think, before 6 months maybe, I think I started introducing milk. But now it's not a thing because the baby's sleeping well. I'm less stressed. I'm adjusted to work. Like, everything eventually works out. We don't have to stress about anything. Honestly, everything at the end of the day works out the way that it should. And it did on my end.
My last worry that shouldn't have been a worry is on growth and development, both in a personal and professional way. I'll start with the personal. I started the year at 6 months postpartum, and I definitely did not feel great in my body. I don't know why, to be honest. Looking back, it wasn't that bad. Like, it hasn't been much of a change, but I'm still like, I appreciate it a little bit more now. So I embarked on a fitness goal, and I was like, I wasn't sure how this was gonna ever become a habit, because going to the gym is difficult. Waking up every morning to go to the gym is difficult. And then trying to find the right things for you to do. And it was just a lot. And I was like, I don't know how I would make this a habit. But I did. And I even tolerate running now. I say tolerate because running is the absolute worst thing a human being can do to themselves. I don't get it. Don't come to for me if you're a runner. It's just not... I don't, my husband is one, and I just kept looking at him like he's nuts. But my workouts have involved a little bit of running here and there. And I'm like, you know what? I'm not mad. I've ended the year with, like, I can run voluntarily. And I mean, I'll probably be mad the entire way, but not mad enough to want to stop. So that's some growth that I and you know, it's amazing. And I haven't been to the gym in a while, the last couple of weeks. I don't know if it's just like end of year fatigue or what it is, but I'm not sure. But I am very ready to go back because I've noticed the emptiness that came with it. I didn't know endorphins were a thing. I thought that was a joke. I thought it was just like this marketing trick that we were given. I don't know for what reason, but it was actually really amazing. You know what? Maybe I'm a gym girly. I'm a gym girly. I'm that chick at the side of the corner of the gym, just lifting up and weights and, you know, and doing her best, running away from things like cardio. That's still me. But I'm very proud of myself. I've felt stronger. I am stronger. And I've grown a really good appreciation to my body. I know that she's gone through a lot. And I need to just appreciate that a lot, you know. And I need to keep reminding myself. Because I always go through that. I get to a point where I'm like, I'm very happy about how I look, how I feel, how I am in my body. And then I move to, I absolutely hate this. And I think it's fine. It's normal. A lot of us go through that cycle. But even when I'm in that low of lows, I have to remind myself that I brought two human beings here and I fed them. And that leaves a mark, you know. And that's a really good one, especially when they run around ignoring me, to be fair. I'm just like, y'all are fine without me. So that's great. The other worry that I had was on the growth of this podcast. I started this year with like the third season, and I wasn't sure what direction it would go, to be honest. So I started pushing myself to do things. Like I did an event mid-year. So that was amazing. Oh my God. I think I've talked about that event too many times, but it was a great realization of the work that I'm doing, you know. And also trying to think about this space as a business and as a company. Like, I formed a company around it. It's called Hadithi Collective. And in it, I hope to produce more amazing podcasts that celebrate our life experiences. And that's a big bet. That's a big bet on my future. Because I'm like, why am I getting these hours to work on this? But I have the drive. Like, the motivation is there. The purpose is there. And that's what I'm going to do, you know? Another thing that I had a worry was on, like, I think I'd call it, like, validation. Also, like, sharing about my personal journey, especially the professional side of that journey, with like-minded people or people in this field. Like, for me, it felt like it would validate my progress. And to be honest, it wasn't the right motivation to use. I learned that from my life coach. Hey, shout out to Nyashomba. But I realized that validation used to come from myself. And when that switch happened, things were coming my way. So that was amazing. This is a big shout out to everyone I've ever worked with on anything professional with me and the podcast. So all in all, it's been a fantastic year. It's a fantastic year that I'm very proud of. And for Christine, this year provided a big career opportunity for her, and she was worried about it. It was a chance to build a company that would help mothers through their journey, and it meant leaving her kids for months.
So this year was a unique year because I had to be away for 3 months, and I was extremely worried. I was even more worried about being away than the work I was going to do. But it turns out the kids survived without me. So I don't know whether I should be happy or sad about that. But I'm glad things turned out the way they did. And that it goes to show that I can be able to do some stuff or some of the personal goals that I want to achieve. I can be able to do them and not have to worry about the kids because we have a great support system. Or I have a great support system.
Anyway, that's it for this episode. I would like you to take a moment to think about your own year. What are the things that you worried about at the beginning, but in hindsight, you probably shouldn't have? Thank you for sticking with me all the way through to the 50th episode. I know a number of you have been with me from the very first day that I shared my very nervous first episode back in April 2021. I appreciate you. A special thanks goes to the amazing moms and dads who have shared their stories and experiences with us this year. Your candor has provided us relatability, learnings, and enormous value. Thank you. This is starting to feel like a vote of thanks at the end of event, but I love it. To everyone who attended my very first event back in June, Yanni, that was amazing. I wish I pulled off more, but I think I was just so nervous going into it. And even after, I couldn't believe that I pulled it off and that people actually came. But it has definitely lit up a fire under me, so I expect big things next year. Did I even say thanks to everyone who's bought me a dawa or cake this year through your donations? I kid. I actually use that to help me keep this podcast running. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Getting these episodes to you out for free is not free for me to create, but I don't mind it because I know how valuable they are. So any amount is greatly appreciated. Next week, we are going to usher in the new year with another reflective episode. And in this one, we'll be getting into what we're looking forward to in 2024. Have a lovely rest of your holidays and catch you in the next one. Bye.
Okay, you want to come say bye? Yeah.
Sama, happy
bye.
New year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Have a great holiday.
Have a great holiday.
Sama, have a great holiday.
Have a great holiday.
Wow. Sama, see you next year.
See you next year.
Wow. Tuambia nini ingine?
Finish.
Okay, guys, bye. We'll see you.
Finish, please.